Welcome to the CineStory podcast, where each month we bring you great conversations about screenwriting. I'm your host and CineStory Executive Director, Claire Frost. For those of you who don't know us, the CineStory Foundation is a Los Angeles-based nonprofit committed to the nurturing of outstanding visual storytellers from around the world. Each year, CineStory recognizes undiscovered talent through the CineStory Screenwriting Awards, the semi-finalists of which are invited to an exclusive four-day writer's retreat, and the grand prize winner receives a 12-month mentorship program with two Hollywood pros, as well as a cash award and other prizes. The 2013 contest opens in October. This year, CineStory is also launching a webinar series aimed at giving writers real-world insights from our Hollywood mentors. So join us in April, June, and November for sessions aimed at helping writers prepare work for the marketplace, understanding how recent changes in the film industry affect screenwriters, and offering tools to resolve those nagging story issues. Find out more or reserve your place at cinestory.org/webinars. Now on to this month's podcast. Although several of CineStory's programs are geared towards feature writing, we all know that in this day and age, many screenwriters choose to create stories for both big and small screens. So we are pleased to bring you some perspectives on the current state of TV writing. In this conversation, two writer producers and one rep with clients working in TV discuss how to land that first staff job and what opportunities currently exist for those looking to break into the TV writing world. Enjoy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Jonathan, and I'm a writer.
I'm Sharon, and I'm a writer and producer, creative exec person.
I'm Brandy, and I'm a manager.
And we work in television. So none of us are really prepared to lecture, so I guess then we can talk about what we do.
Yes. Here's what I will say. I think it's the most exciting time in the history of television to be in television. I think whatever you like, there's a show on, like, from... You know, Downton Abbey, which I thought was absolutely brilliant, to Spartacus, which I thought was equally brilliant. So you can go this, like, huge spectrum of great television right now, and whatever you want to do, there's somewhere that wants to do it. And that's kind of an amazing moment from, you know, as a writer, what it does, it's both really wonderful and also kind of terrifying, because when I first started, you could kind of do a pitch, and you kind of knew what it would be at CBS and NBC would be basically the same, and you tweak it a little for ABC and you tweak it a little for Fox, but you could basically take the same pitch out everywhere. And now the problem as a writer is each network is radically different from the other one, so that a pitch at FX is really different from one at USA, is really different from ABC Family, is really different from TNT, is really different from CBS, and so that's kind of a drag. So you kind of get, like, a pitch I took into HBO. If it didn't sell at HBO, it wasn't going to sell. And it sold at HBO, but you kind of get one swing of the bat. And that means that a tremendous amount of work goes into a very narrow thing. You can sometimes, like, I have an idea that was originally conceived for CBS, but you can kind of flip it on its head and make it younger, you know, like, you, but... It's a very, it's both exciting and sort of hard as a writer because you really only get one swing of the bat for most ideas. Don't you think that's true?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm, just to let you know where my point of view is coming from, because it's a little different than these two, I make movies for television, so I know most of you are screenwriters, so like, and what he's saying is true for episodic and for film, it's very specific.
I do make movies for television.
Yes, and he makes movies for television as well. He does everything. But yes, it is, it's very specific per market, per network, per genre, per, you know, there, it's much more specific that way than I think the feature film business. There is a television movie business, but it's much smaller than it used to be. But movies are being made, features are being repurposed for television somewhat, you know, so there is, it's just a different market for you to consider as screenwriters, because I don't think this is a group, I haven't met anybody who's just a pure television writer doing episodic. So for me, I'm going to talk more about movies. We do a couple different levels of them. I do little independents that I make. Those of you who I've mentored have already heard some of this, so spare yourselves. Little tiny movies, micro-budget movies, and then bigger $2 to $5 million budget movies. There are sort of the two levels in TV right now. She works in the bigger one. We have a project with her in the bigger ones. So that's what I kind of do in my world. I break little baby riders with the small little independent movies that I make in town or for under $1 million. And then the bigger ones are network writers for movies, and they're big guys like him who those networks are familiar with, and those are harder to break into for new writers. So that's sort of my... Or even before, I was a writer on series, and I did staffing and stuff. So if you have questions about that, I can talk to you about the horrors of that. You know, it was great and horrible, but I've been a writer, I've been a producer, I've been an executive. So those are so I have kind of a different perspective because of that. So that's my overview.
And then I do most of what I do in television is staffing, which is for those of you who don't know, like television, you go, you pitch your show, you sell it. Hopefully you go to pilot, and then even bigger, hopefully you go to series. So part of my job is to put writers what's called on staff for television shows. So then the writers, for those of you who don't know, sit in a big room of writers and you pitch ideas all day. It sounds fun, but it's horrifying.
It is. It can be. It depends on the people you're in the room with, like any job.
Yeah.
Which thing? Yeah.
All right, I have a question.
Okay.
I'm going to start it off.
Okay.
So these are all new writers.
Uh-huh.
And they come to you and say, I want to staff on a television show.
Right.
My question to you is, A, what should they do? And then B, can you really do that? Can you really put new writers on TV shows?
It's hard. It doesn't mean it's impossible because nothing in this business is impossible.
Have you done it?
Of course I have.
All right. So.
Well, like feature scripts or... ever work to get you staff on TV or?
Occasionally. It's harder to get people to read an entire feature script in television just because they're like 60 pages and out because that's what they're used to reading. But as long as the material is strong, they'll absolutely read it, you know?
And just as another perspective, I've had big agents and small agents, and I never got a job from an agent or manager, no offense, lady. I didn't have a good one, clearly. I got my first staff job off of friends of friends who knew that I had a lot of similarities with the main character on the show, so I could sell myself for it. And it was a comedy, and I'd never written comedy, I'd only written drama, but I had a personal connection, and then got hired on that one. And then the other show I got hired on, an executive from the first show knew an executive of the network at the next show and then found us that way. I write with my husband as a team when I do staffing. So it's also about the networking. It's about everybody know, everybody meet here, doing the Facebook, keeping in touch with people because you never know, like, who knows who. And, like, every time I'm even hiring writers now, I'll go and see if they know anyone I know. Because then I can find out, you know, if, like, they're cool or not.
You're Facebook checking them.
I totally do.
I did that the other day on someone I signed.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, how do you know this person?
Yeah.
And it's like some random actor I know in New York. I'm like,
yeah.
I know him.
And it kind of helps. It's just it's a connection to someone. It's and the people you meet, the more people you meet and the more people who know you and know you're not a crazy person will talk to their friends. And like that network is totally important. I don't know anyone now is getting staffed without those relationships. You can have a good manager agent and those relationships, and that will usually push you over.
And she just said something that is really key in television, which is who do you want to sit in a room with? Who do they want to sit in a room
yeah.
with?
It's
a 12 hours a day.
It's a very small room. It's a
yeah.
very long day. And if you walk in, and I've seen people ding because someone said they didn't like the way they smell, and then, you know, like,
yeah,
go in.
It's brutal.
It's just like... You don't know, but it's a very clubby atmosphere.
Yeah.
Also, another way to get in is, like, being a writer's assistant or, like, a writer's PA. Interning, even. I know that sounds like, oh, God, I would never want to do that. But any way you can get in and, like, meet people is the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think the single best way you can get in on a staff is writer's assistant. Like,
yeah.
I can't emphasize.
Although it's getting incredibly hard to get
promoted.
It's getting
hard for them.
But is it really?
Yeah.
Is it
yeah. so brutal. It's like,
really,
it's dark out there.
Because everybody knows that. That's the best way to do that.
Well, no, it's not even just that. Because there's so many more networks now, people are buying from people they've never heard of. Like, Comedy Central will buy from you if you write a really fun idea. Whereas 10 years ago, Comedy Central didn't do scripted. You know what I mean? Like, USA will actually buy a script from someone they've never heard of.
You mean?
If the material's good.
They'll buy an episode of
No. They'll buy a piece of development.
Pilot or something.
So, like, and then once you sell a piece of development, it's easier to put you on staff because you have a credit. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So once you have something... Once you have a credit and people know that you were in a room and people know that people would bring you back into a room, that's almost the most important thing.
I had to learn how to navigate through some challenging situations.
I was very lucky in that, again, I was brought in because someone on the staff really liked my writing a lot and he was my mentor and I just did what... It's very much like I had someone looking out for me and he was at a high level and I did what he told me to do.
You just
navigate your way... And it's political. It's very political.
Yeah. How many of you are actually interested in writing for television? I mean, it's okay. You don't have to. Okay.
And don't be embarrassed. All the money's in television.
No, I love
yeah.
And all the work
that's
is in television.
The biggest secret.
I was just on the Writers Guild negotiating committee, and so I was sort of getting the 24,000 feet view of what's going on inside the Writers Guild.
I should talk to you.
And so we were getting the things, and so again, surprise, surprise, feature work is collapsing. There's just, they look at the aggregate, so it's not who's getting it or what writers or whatever. So that work is going down. Network work is going down. The thing that is exploding, the thing that's going up, and the reason why the Guild is actually holding steady is basic cable. All the work is in basic cable. I mean, from Comedy Central to FX to USA Network to ABC Family to Lifetime, there is a basic cable show for you, and that is where all the work is, and that is where people are getting hired. Uh-huh. It's hard to get hired because they're very, very small staffs, like 4 or 5 writer kind of staffs, and so that makes it really hard to get people in, but that's where the work is. The work is in basic cable.
Yep.
Well, and the most important thing about being on those particular shows is... Unfortunately, the middle's being squeezed out, like it is everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's easy-ish, I'm not going to say easy, it's easy-ish to get to be a staff writer or a story editor. But once you get to executive story editor or the mid-levels, co-producer, producer level, they're like, okay, we can't afford those levels anymore because we'd rather have one person who's high level... instead of two people who are in the middle, and then we can afford to throw $100,000 at our babies.
But the good news is there's more opportunity for us.
But where I was going was that
there are development opportunities for low-level writers, for sure. People
and they're buying. Like USA is buying, FX is buying. Like there's places that are buying stuff.
I mean, what's his name who created Sons of Anarchy?
Right.
He was like only on the Shield a couple of years, and he sold that show, and that's probably their highest rated show on the air right now.
And I'm sorry, I have another question. I don't mean to dominate the questions.
No, we like.
Ask me something, please.
So I certainly have interest in being a show creator, you know, and like I'm very interested in film and television and directing. So for as part of one of my goals, would be eventually to have a show, and I would see it. More on, I don't see it as network just because of my voice, but maybe I'm wrong. So sort of laying down the, like, what is it, how does that lay down? I mean, I know that I could just sell something, but that I'm guessing that that's rare for a new writer just to sell a pilot.
Well, you would need to write a pilot.
Well, of course, I've done that, yeah.
And look, the spec television market, I'm not going to say is a huge market, but people buy spec.
Yeah,
you know, it's not unheard of that you write, you know, you come up with an original idea and you write that original idea on spec and somebody buy it. That's not unheard of, whereas 10 years ago that was actually unheard of. But as far as being a show creator, I would say, you know, try to sell something in features or have a really high concept idea, or you actually have relationships with high level writers going to people like that and asking them to supervise you even. Like that's a version that helps you sell a TV show.
So supervise, so it's like I go to this showrunner and say, what does that mean, supervise me? Like,
basically they would come on as a producer and give you notes and help you develop the script. Some may want to co-write because co-creating is way more lucrative than just coming on. But I mean, as someone who's never sold anything in television before, you should be willing to let, especially with your level of relationships, let them co-create with you, because you're still going to make enough money.
Can I be blunt? You're not going to walk in and sell something. So you need to walk in with someone who they feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
So that would be a showrunner. And if you have relationships with them,
I have a couple of good ones.
Then you need to walk in the door. You have to pitch them the idea and say, will you help me create this?
But like any
relationship,
like any relationship,
even if you write it on spec, even if you write it on spec, you can go to them and let them read your spec.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Yeah,
you know, and there's two versions: you take out the spec, or you go out with them as a pitch.
Yeah,
but like all relationships we've been talking about here, you approach from a position of fandom with them. You say, "I'm a fan of your work. I want to learn from you. Do advice for me," because the showrunners are being approached all the time by production companies, networks, studios, everyone to take over shows. Because having that skill set and bringing things in is very valuable. And and so you want to, you know, find material you know that will connect with them, or, you know, have some sort of personal connection or reason for them to come on board for new writers.
And know them as a writer and what they respond to as writers.
Right.
And what kind of characters they like.
And assume they will rewrite you completely.
And be okay
And be okay with that. You know, it's an important skill set, you know. So we talked a little about this, but, you know, it's part of the journey with it. Because, again, you need them.
Right.
And then hopefully one day you'll be at a level where you'll be rewriting someone you're mentoring.
Right. TV used to be more like, I called it like bank jobs, where you'd be like a staff writer and then a story editor. And you'd, you know, and you'd go up the steps. And my friends who've been in the business for longer, like, they went all the way steps up to showrunner. And then now it's like sometimes somebody comes in sideways, or someone's a feature person, or someone just gets handed a show or whatever. It's a little bit more chaotic now. And so the steps aren't there. And everyone knows that, so you have to be respectful and know your place in the system, but also be open to kind of jumping around, create a show for a small cable network. They're all very specific. If you're a sci-fi geek and you want to create a sci-fi show, you know, try out that world, learn about that world, figure out who the players are in that. USA is its own thing. All these people are their own very specific genre. You know, you have to know who you're talking to. And so you have to be fluid and, you know, have a good sense of what you can do and what you can't do and put yourself in the right rooms.
And be willing to go with the flow. Always.
Yes.
Even if you're a co-executive producer on staff, they might tell you to do the most demeaning things.
Yep.
You have to go and do it.
Yep.
Go and do research and whatever. And you're like, isn't that what the researcher's for? But no. Mm-hmm. The boss said go and do it, so you should just go and do it.
Yeah.
How much of a... are they expecting when you go into a room of having sort of storylines mapped out? How far? You know, is it
like,
through season one? Yeah, is it... season two? I mean, are they now starting to look at a longer period? Or
I would say it changes every year for network. This year, I would say all they really wanted you to talk about is the characters, and they didn't want it to feel like you were preaching to them who the people were. They wanted to kind of hear who the characters were through stories. You know, like what their quirks are, like how they do business and that sort of thing. And then you could talk about different episode ideas without calling them episode ideas. It was very weird this year. And
because it was all The Good Wife. So they all want to know, how is the character's experience solving the crime?
Yeah.
So it's that was all of a sudden the model this year.
And as my company, we tend to take in baby writers and create shows to pitch out to networks, like, so we're sort of the creative exec on it. And for baby writers, if someone comes in with like a 3-year like Bible, we think it's really presumptuous. Like, what do you know? How would you know to do 3 years? Like, having some sense of where it's going and knowing what the engine of the show is. Is it a procedural? Is it a family comedy? Is it a, you know, like, what's the thing with TV? There's always the engine. My favorite example is always, you know, like Tony Soprano. It's like, he's, you know, the mob boss and a family man, you know, and those two things are constantly the engine of the show that keeps it going.
Well, and
that's
theme.
What people want to know.
Theme,
yeah, what
theme,
you're trying
theme,
to say.
Theme. Everybody wants to know what the theme is. And quite honestly, the question I got a lot this year is, why this writer? So,
right.
Like, make it personal. When you're pitching something, why are you the right writer
right.
to write this particular
thing? Right. So. Yeah, I mean, it's that, too. It's like, sometimes the things that are messy about you or that are sort of weird about you end up being serving you. If you see a show out there that reflects your life, let your agent know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't, you know, be as open as you can and you're comfortable with if you have some familiarity in something. They want lawyers and doctors and, you know, they want people with real-life experience. Actual question.
I do have an actual question.
Yes.
You know, in the film world, it's like, pick your genre, right? They're like, are you a comedy? Are you a thriller? Are you a drama? So, and So then my question is with TV, I'm wondering if it's similar, and it's personal because I have a, like, I started to direct this year, mm-hmm. and I did a half hour comedy for a person that, and I actually wrote it for the actors. I actually met with each of the actors and said, what's your strengths? And I'm going to weave this into the story. It's comedy. And I actually am a drama, you know, I'm actually like a drama person. I can write comedy with people. I hate writing it on my own. So I'm just wondering, is that gonna, would that help me?
I would say you should 100% pick one or the other. Because executives who do comedy are different than executives who do drama.
Yeah.
And if you want to write samples for both, then you should write samples for both. But it's a whole different set of people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, like NBC, some drama people might cover one comedy show, you know, here and there. But for the most part, those are very segregated departments.
Though, just to present another view, everyone I know worked in half hour, now works in 1 hour.
Yeah, like Jill Soloway, you mentioned, she was a comedy person. And then she,
well, because there's not a lot of work in comedy. And then, I mean, there hasn't been. It's getting better, but everyone I know is less.
You know, actually, they're making the shift when they're further along in their career.
Yeah,
they're not trying
sure
to
that.
To
you're right.
Both.
That's a good point.
I don't know that it's going to serve me in, I mean, maybe a directing sample or something, but it wouldn't serve me necessarily as far as a writer, because it's comedy. I mean,
right.
It's funny.
Right.
You know? I mean, if you wanted to go out.
If you're doing dramedy. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, dramedy. Yeah, I can do that, of course.
If you're doing a procedural, it won't.
Right.
Apply. But I mean, it is good to position yourself as a certain kind of writer and be attracted to certain kind of shows.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know.
Coming out of the gate, I'd do whatever you're best at. Is that just the worst answer? People have told me that.
You would be better suited for 1 hour.
No, I totally
I mean, having read you and sort of know you in a feature way,
right.
I would say you're probably better for, like, Criminal Minds.
I'm definitely 1 hour.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, like, would that help me at all? But I don't think it will. That's the answer to that question.
Well, I think you position yourself as an hour writer.
Yeah.
And you can be a diverse human being behind that.
Yes.
But don't be like, well, I really want to do comedy, but,
no,
like, I'm here for this 1 hour. It's like, I'm a 1 hour writer. I have experience. I try out other things because I'm an intellectually curious person.
You know,
executives hate nothing more than writers who wrote one script and are doing nothing now.
Yeah.
They're like, what are you doing? So why are you doing nothing?
I do a lot of dramas, a lot of, like, all dramatic stuff, and people will go, you're funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they like that in the drama. Like, multiple times I've had people go, you're really funny.
Yeah.
And then they'll start talking about my background, which is out of comedy, but they like that I can write. Like, that's a good thing.
Yes.
Like, to be able to write a funny drama.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a,
okay.
Don't feel like, oh my God, you gotta write these morose things. You know, like, Dexter's funny.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So
and maybe it would help you if your samples are more square and not funny, and they're like, well, could she even do comedy? Then you'd be like, well, let's do this.
Right.
So it's always good to have things in your arsenal. But yeah, present yourself as, well, I'm a person, like, whatever meeting you're in, you're that person. You know. So it's like, you'll figure it out.
But
just
also on
practice.
On the other side of that, though, if it's something that you're not good at, and you go into a room and it's your first staff job, and you're not good at writing comedy, and you write a bad episode, everyone in town's going to know about it.
Sure, but...
So, you know, especially on this, you need to, like, build fans, sort of, in the beginning, because you need people to call and verify you. She's going to show up on time, she's not crazy, she's going to write her scripts on time, I'm not going to have to hound her for her scripts, everything, you know, like, you want that. But if you are in an area, especially in the beginning, that you're not comfortable, Hollywood is a small place, and everyone talks to everyone. So you want to make sure you're in a place, especially in the beginning. Look, when you're, you know, mid-level and you've been around and you know people and you have friends, it's okay to take a chance here or there. But in the beginning, you want to kick ass.
Yeah.
Sure, but if someone offers you a job on The Office and you turn it down, that will also spread. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? You also can't turn down opportunities. She's right. Like, you will be judged no matter what you're doing. You will be fired. You will be... All of these things happen to everyone, but... Don't be the person who shuts things down for yourself. If, as writers in any context, don't be that person who's like, well, I don't know if I could really do that. Always be like, oh, let me, oh, I, you know what, this is my way into that. Odds are most of the meetings you won't get the job anyway, but at least present well so they think about you for another one. Don't be that writer. It doesn't serve you. You can do anything when you're in the meeting. Anything.
once you're in a room, what is the, sort of the expected turnaround on a, say, a script?
A night? A week, 2 weeks, a month,
it depends.
Whatever they tell you.
Yeah. I was on one show where we wrote one draft in 2 weeks, and we were like, ah, oh, lovely, we're at home, and it was all relaxing. And they went in, they're like, oh, we're going to start over. And then we had to write that one in 2 days.
Okay.
Just, you know, you have to just be ready to roll with that. So
the other thing that no one has said is TV is really different than feature writing in the sense that if you're writing on a show, if you write an episode of The Sopranos, or if you write an episode of The Closer, or whatever the show is, you have to get the voice right. If you came to me with your feature and I said, it doesn't feel right either, but this is who the character is, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Everyone who is reading an episode of The Good Wife is going to tell you it's right or it's not. And that's what they're looking for, that the voice is right, that you can do someone else's voice. It is not your voice. It is not your you could put your thematic in it, but that character better sound
like Brenda Lee Johnson.
Right, and you read one page. They will read one page.
And it's got to be formatted right and look right and be all those things.
Yes.
Like, it's got to be shootable, basically.
And that is what they're looking for. And if you don't have, on page one, that voice, I think, that really...
Well, this year was a year, I feel like, with staffing, no one wanted to read specs of other shows.
Yeah.
Although I will tell you, current executives have told me this, like, in the past couple weeks, oh, we're going to be reading specs this year because we put too many people on staff who can't write for the show. So that will change, but every year it's different.
It's just a different
Well, they
want
to make sure you send in new stuff, too.
Yeah.
They don't want it to be stale. They don't want you to use the same script for staffing every year. You need to generate new material.
I had an agent who told me, I will sign any level writer who I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. But if they're not writing material, I don't want anything to do with it. Because if you don't have a new piece of material, if you go into NBC and someone kind of likes you, and they meet you, and they're like, oh, I really like her, and then the next season they're like, oh, she could be good in the room, but I didn't love her sample, I liked it. What else does she have? And you don't have anything?
Right.
That's even more telling than anything else, because you're not actually producing material that people can see.
Now, could that piece be an original, or should that be be another sample?
I would suggest writing both.
Yeah, you have to have a good original and a good spec.
And you should be...
To cover it.
I mean, generally, I would say, because people do ask for specs less, or they will ask for an original first and then a spec, you can probably get away with having more originals and fewer specs of shows, but you should definitely have both.
And this is a good point of view. She's the person who asked to sell. You know, your reps have to... They don't want to be the person to say no. They don't have it. Like, it makes them uncomfortable. Don't make them uncomfortable. Like, you know, if you want them to work for you. And that's true in screenwriting, too. You got to keep sending material. You keep in touch. You manage that relationship. You know, managers even more than agents, except for fabulous agents. You know.
I think she was pointing at you.
Yes. You know, it's hard out there. And they work hard, and they're getting told no a lot. So you have to help them feel like they go into things as strong as possible. Because they're vulnerable for you. If they're good at what they're doing, they're putting themselves out there all the time. And if you don't give them anything to fight back with, then they feel like shit. They don't want to be like, I have kind of clients that are,
yeah.
They're kind of committed. Nobody wants that, you know? They want you dying for it. It's too hard. It's too hard to work to represent people.
I think because nothing makes, and you should be up here, nothing makes a representative more exciting than, I have a brand new material from so-and-so. Do you want to read it? Like,
right.
We like making that call.
Right.
That's what makes our job fun.
Because that's the hope.
And the hope is they call you back and they say, oh my God, I love it. Do you think he wants to go on blank?
Right.
Or in features, oh my God, I love it, we want to buy it, or oh my God, I love it, do you think they'd rewrite X?
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Questions? Anyone? You guys are very quiet. If you're in a TV room, none of this will work.
It's not fly.
Yeah, sorry.
Have you guys talked about what a writer's room is and how it works and what that might look like for them? The kind of hours you put in when you're on staff?
Well, that varies widely.
It really does.
Yeah.
The cable shows have a different schedule. The network schedule.
Network is hell.
Some of them start off 9 to 5-ish and then end up, you know, 9 to 4 in the morning. If you cover a set, those are 12 to 18-hour days, depending.
What that means is TV writers are producers.
Right.
So you go to set on your episodes and actually produce the episodes. So that's what that means.
Which is awesome.
And when the actors are on hiatus, you're working.
Yes.
Because you have to prepare the scripts for them to actually go and act.
Yeah, it's a grind. I mean, people, you get behind shows like these network orders. They're 20-something episodes. And like cable, where you're doing 10 and you serve a luxury and it's not airing for a year. With the network shows, it's a pretty serious grind to put it out, and as there's less and less money. I was up for a sitcom that was going to shoot, for CMT, that was going to shoot 2 episodes a week. And I was like, yeah. I will die. I can't do that. Like, that will kill me. You know that show, yeah.
Well, I had a show in Canada that did that. They had 2 directors working.
Yeah, like rotating.
They had 2 directors working each week, and the writer's room had to make that happen.
Did they have 2 writers' rooms, though?
One writer's room. 4 writers.
On Without a Trace, we had 2 rooms. On Without a Trace.
They started out with, my client was a showrunner. They had started out at the beginning with six of them total. By the last sort of run of 3-4 episodes, there were 2 of them, my client and 1 more writer.
Yeah. Wait, was that Blue Mountain State?
No, it was a Canadian show.
Oh, okay. Because they shoot in Canada.
They whittle them down. I was on a show that was just, by the end, was just the creators and my husband and I, who were staff writers, and that was it. Yeah. And we wrote, like, the last four episodes and almost died doing it, but it was fun. Yeah. And then when I worked on Greek, it was back-to-back. They had 2 ADs, so the people were in production solid through the whole, like, the crews never got a week off. It was insane because it was lower budget. And it was less episodes to start, so it was more doable. But it's a grind. I mean, you have to really be up for it. And there's the group writing, which works for some personalities and not others. You know, put up a whiteboard and go. Some rooms they put the script up and you go line by line and you write it all together.
Well, in some rooms
it varies wildly and it's personality based.
Some rooms, I mean, I get a couple of different complaints from writers. One is they let me write my script, but they don't let me produce my episode. Another one is they let me produce my episode, but I don't write a word of the script.
Yeah, right. Interesting. I read an article about how with some BBC shows, they write all, so say it's like 12 or 13 episodes, they'll write all the scripts first. Mm-hmm. And then they just focus on producing.
They did that with some of the shows.
They're starting to do that a little bit on cable now.
Yeah,
Memphis Beat did that this year.
Do that here, because that sounds really awesome.
They do it so they can cross board episodes for production and things, and do things that make it
cheaper. But what happens when that happens is the lower level writers don't produce their episodes.
Yes, they're
because
fired
they don't want to pay.
So they have you just do the writing, and then they're like, okay.
Then you're on hiatus, and then they go up and produce all of them.
Curious, because you mentioned money. So I'm curious about money in 2 ways. One, what the process is when you sell a pilot in terms of like payment, and then when you get hired, I mean, with your baby, you know, in the baby level, what that looks like in terms of money. You know, like $100,000, and you get paid like.
For staff writing
on
a show?
Yeah, like how does that break down?
Oh, God, it's a weekly.
And then, like, when someone buys a pilot, like, what do they do? They give you, like, a certain percent up front, and then when you deliver the script, they give you the rest?
It's like films, correct me if I'm wrong, there's payment plans.
So if you sell a pilot, you're going to get an option, you're going to make a deal for executive producing, and then you'll have an executive producing fee for the pilot, and then you'll have an executive producing fee for the series, and they're different. And then you'll have a created by royalty that will get negotiated, and that's if you get created by credit, that's for the life of the show. You'll get back end
participation
in the show.
Trust me, you'll be fine when you sell your pilot. Don't worry, you'll be okay.
Smaller networks, it's smaller though.
And I will say that as a staff writer on a basic cable show, I had a friend do that, and she was, by the way, a lot of staff writers, if you go in alone, they'll go, oh good, congratulations, here's your new writing partner.
Right, it's called paper teaming.
And then you're getting a very low amount of money, and you're splitting it.
It's about
$3,000 a week?
No. It's $3,500, but for 22 episodes, it's about $96,000 a year.
Which you're splitting, less your 10% to your agent, less your 10% to your manager, less your 5% to your lawyer.
And for cable, it's less episodes.
Oh, and did I say half of that? Right, because you're now a team.
If you're now a team, you get half of that.
Still better money than most of the country makes. Don't feel the need to say that.
So if you're a team, so you have, so say it's $100,000.
It's the congratulations.
Here's
your
writing partner.
Yes.
$100,000 then becomes $50,000.
Right. Less 10, less 10, less 5.
Plus taxes, 10. Wow, how do they get away with that?
Do you want to work at Hollywood, baby?
Oh, and by the way, the best ones are when they hire you for 13 episodes, and then they're not sure whether they're going to pick them up. So they keep your contract, which means you can't get work anywhere else for the following year.
But they don't pay you.
Right.
Right.
But you're under contract to them.
There's been some new bad developments.
They have the option on you, basically, so you can't book another job.
But you could sell a film, you just can't. Like you, I mean,
no, you depends.
Sometimes
you can sell a movie. You can sell a movie.
You just can't work in television.
Usually, you can't work. Your services are locked up, but you could sell a screenplay.
Yeah, you can develop.
And this might be hired for a rewrite.
Right, right, exactly.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Welcome to America.
I mean, it goes up.
For a century.
It goes up a lot higher than that. I mean, when the upper level people are, you know, they have a per episode producing fee, and you get script fees. Staff writer is like, it's a newbie thing. And so once you're story editor, you get script fees. You get, depending, you know, anywhere from 15 to 30 scripts on top of that weekly salary or on top of your episode rate.
It's 20 for cable, and it's about 32 for network.
Have you seen this?
That's... You
but
know,
don't be scared right now. Don't. I feel like this
didn't
conversation.
Make lean into the
this
page.
Conversation is going into
the sharp point.
This conversation is going into run very fast.
The truth is, Brandon, if you really want to be in the business, like getting that first shot, it's like fantastic.
But this is what I'm about being open. There are not opportunities or don't. Come by, take them. If someone says, hey, I could get you a writer's assistant job on a show, you don't even know what it is, look it up and go. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why you're all
you don't know where it'll lead. You don't know.
Yeah. Why are you complaining?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
You're still getting paid to do it.
Yeah. Well, and I know all of this, and I've had very dark experiences, and I love what I do. I absolutely love it. I'm thrilled to still make stuff and be creative, and it's not at all where I thought I'd be, and I'm in low budget stuff. I don't care. I have a blast. I get to make stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's good to hold on to that. Whatever you're doing, you know, you should dig it. You know, and if you don't dig it, do something else. It's too
reach
painful.
Reach for the stars. Keep your feet on the ground.
Try to keep being a working artist. That's awesome. Peace out.
Yeah.
All right. You should try to get her to represent you.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Once again, don't forget to join us for the webinar series starting in April. Places are limited, so sign up now at cinestory.org/webinars. CineStory would like to thank Don Bowden for use of the track Home from his album This One's Gonna Leave a Mark. Don is a composer for film, TV, and other media. To find out more about his work, visit donbowden.com. Finally, CineStory is a non-profit organization, so if you like what you hear, consider supporting these podcasts by making a donation at cinestory.org/support us. Until next time, happy writing.